And the
podcast
begins with a song of rebellion.
How can this
podcast
be my life?
CD Burners.
Magnolia Park. Welcome to CD Burners. Thank you guys so much for hopping on the pod with us today. We're doing a little bonus episode with you guys. It's a little different than what we normally do, but we're just such big fans of you guys that we wanted to chat and hang for a little bit, even though it's virtual. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We're stoked.
Yeah, dude, we've been doing like these podcasts, and they're so much fun in person. When you guys, I thought I fucked up. I thought you guys were going to be here, and I was stoked that everybody was going to cram into that space. And I texted TJ this morning. I was like, all right, I'm going to come over a little early, and he was like, you know, this is virtual, right? And I was like, fuck. All right, well, I mean, it gives me more time to like do stuff and learn about this album in particular, the one that you guys are putting out, because there's a lot to it.
Yeah, it's a very, a lot of info in this album, a very
very elaborate.
Yeah,
it's pretty loaded, different sonics, but simultaneously like the most cohesive thing we've ever put together,
for sure.
For me, like I was never as like a graphic novel guy. I was never like into that. I just like didn't grow up with it. And so, but I know that, you know, all of my friends were, and everybody that I knew, and everybody that like we work with, and everybody is. And so it's like, and I don't know, I don't think TJ really is either. And so I think what would be really fucking sick is for you guys to explain this to me like you are explaining it to a stupid person. Like, what is this out? Like, where did this come from? How did you guys begin to do this? Like, where does the story come from? And what, and like, how was this all made, and why? But for a stupid person.
So I guess, after we were done putting out Halloween Mixtape 2, our song, like Animal, like our heavy song, when we played that live, it was just like epic.
Yeah,
for us, and like the fans went crazy like overseas in Australia. So we came back home, and I remember watching like the specific anime called Vampire Hunter D, which is like an 80s 90s anime. So that's where like the vampire thing came in, and we just started like working on some demos at my brother's house. Mainly we wanted to start like a community for our fans, and like I think building a world where our fans could like feel more attached, because I've always loved like the Gorillaz, and they have this whole world, whole like characters and everything, and that made me feel like as a fan like I could explore more than just like Damon Albarn, the guy from Blur. Yeah. So I think that's where it started. We just wanted our fans to have something to latch onto.
Like when you create these characters, and when you create this, because we like, that's something we really like too, is world building. Like I understand world building, right? And I think that that shit is fucking awesome. And I love it when artists take it a step further and they're like, okay, we're going to dive super fucking far and make an entire thing for you guys. It's like, where do you even begin with this? Like, is there a beginning, middle, and end? And how do the characters, how do you create them? And like, they're, you know, the good and the bad, and like what it, like the story, you know, and is that the album?
It's hard to explain because like we were writing the music and kind of coming up with story at the same time. But basically, like to put it simply, like we have a main character named Aurora, and like a bad, like evil force called the Shadow Cult. And basically it's a like simple story of like overcoming that evil entity. If you've seen like Cyberpunk, Edge Runners, Star Wars, or anything like that, it's like the same story. We base it off that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's classic storytelling. You know, you have your evil superpower and your rebellion underdogs. Although I think our story is a little more nuanced, is that there are our characters, or that the vampires, the Nightborn, which is like us as the band, they may not be entirely all good. Like, you know, they're vampires, like inherently, they're not, like these super good entities, but yeah, like Tristan said, we kind of started this process like simultaneously. I think the whole album emerged as like a vibe, or like musically all of our heads were in a very similar space, and we wanted to make something that felt dark and in this world. And I think we were seeing like pretty eye to eye on how we wanted to make this music. And then the story kind of started happening, like what if like this just went a lot deeper than what we've been making already.
Yeah. And man, like I said at the start, like I was watching like a lot of anime at the time, and like specifically like that Vampire Hunter D, which is like a cyberpunk, like Victorian era, like this weird crazy anime that's dope, and just like kind of like inspired the whole process. And when we brought it and like came together to like build this thing together, it kind of like just collided into this. So it helped with the characters, the all the nuances, like the Bloodstone, the emblems, the city itself. It took a lot of time.
And you guys built a really cool website for this, right? Like we were just looking at this. We're recording this on April 2nd, and the album comes out April 11th on Epitaph. And they sent over the Vamp website you guys made, and it is so sick. I feel like the art of like building, like world building visually on websites is not something you see a lot of bands doing these days. Like this could be like for a movie, or, you know, like Morgan said, a graphic novel. This is really cool stuff, guys. I feel like it's kind of like Coheed and Cambria too. Like they do this kind of world building, but it's really interesting, man.
I was going to ask, like, you know, like why, you know, you answered sort of the question, like we wanted to build a world for the fans. So why not do that as opposed to putting out an album and separately? Like why did you guys feel necessary to like put these two things together?
That's a great question. I think in 2025 and like going forward in music, artistry is really what's paramount to vision in music. So having an all-around project from visuals to music to the lyrics, everything is weaved together. I mean, we specifically made lyrics and, you know, told stories in the songs on the album that are coming out that are pertaining to the Vamp story. Mm-hmm. Like not just mentions, but just like tales or kind of storylines from the narrative. So it creates this whole like immersive experience that I think it's more than just like passive listening. It becomes something where you're actually engaged with what's going on, and you're trying to find out like, well, where is this going, or how does this connect to this story? And I think that makes for something that stands out.
So it's awesome. Like TJ was saying, the fucking website kicks ass. Like it's really like, I was super impressed. And also like I'm impressed with just this concept as a whole, because it's not something that I am like, I said, I didn't grow up with this. And so I always find this shit really fucking impressive. But I do play video games, right? And so what it does, it gave like the website and the vibe and the feel and the look and the story. Like I was like, all right, what do I know? And I know video games. And so did you guys like hide anything in this album? Like, are there secret, like, you know, cause I know not all the chapters are released yet. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, what did you do any like, oh, you have to wait for this thing, or like wait to listen to this thing, or this is going to be a secret. Like, did you guys weave that stuff into the album sort of, so it's like, you know, like you said, more interactive and more of a, like a community can talk about it.
Yeah. I remember specific things like, I think Vince has like this reverse section in between the, but yeah, it's in between like Reasons and, Crate, or Reasons and Ophelia, one of those two. And there's like little things, and like our song Ophelia kind of ties into our character a little bit with the route that our story goes. It's kind of like weeded into the album itself. And I think towards the end, like Vince and like me and Fred, we just like took a lot of care to how to weed that in, you know. Yeah. Like, make sure, like, the detail's there and, like, the fans are like, oh, wait, this is, like, the story, you know? So
I know you guys have done, like, a lot of stuff that has had tinges of this storytelling, but I this is technically the first, like, full concept album, correct? How was the process different, you know, making this concept album versus just, like, making, you know, the mixtapes or, like, some of the more just, like, we're a band, like, playing music? Like, this is a totally different undertaking. Like, how was it different for you guys?
I would say for Vamp, like, we're just, like, entering, like, new – we went a lot heavier than we ever went before.
You know? You guys went Florida mode.
Yeah.
Is the thing. Like, I was, like, listening, and I was, like, Florida mode, which is sick.
Yeah, we were just, like, trying to figure out how to do a new genre that we wanted to and, like, actually do it, like, correctly and, like, make sure we're answering this the right way. So it took us some time. And I think the music just came first. The music was, like, so important to get, because, like, the three of us are producers specifically, so we had to, like, write a lot of songs and, like, figure out how to do, like, heavy metal the right way. And then we blended so much different hyper pop, like, on Omen, just like a weird EDM kind of
vibe. It's like rave metal.
Yeah,
pretty much. I think all of our influences kind of came together, or like our style of music making, the way we write kind of just made the album. But I would say, like, the main difference is that we didn't just try to make anything we wanted. Like, the Halloween mixtapes were just free for all.
Mm-hmm.
Make whatever you want. Like, there's a funk EDM. There's two funk songs, three on Halloween mixtape too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We, like, this whole crazy subgenre called funk back then. And now it was like, okay, like, let's hone in this direction sonically into something that feels like, when the songs play after one another, this is a single body of work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not just, like, jamming songs together, which is cool. Like, that was the point of Halloween mixtape.
Yeah. And I think another thing to say to that is, like, Josh, like, he's so, like, versatile. Like, we can do, like, an R&B, we can do a pop punk song, we can do a fucking, like, heavy in your face metal song. So having, like, Josh, like, grow with us, that, like, as vocally, was so, like, amazing to have at our disposal as songwriters, because we get to do whatever the heck we want, and we get to do it at a high level. So I truly think, like, Josh is just, like, underrated in music in the rock world right now, for sure. And I hope we prove that with this new album.
Yeah. Well, from what I heard, it sounds awesome. And I do know that, like, you know, what it takes to put in all of these different genres, and, you know, there's some producers that are just really good at one thing and that's it, and they can only touch that. But to have elements of, like, everything, like you said, and have it blend and feel right, there's a fine line between being able to do it and having it feel right. And this album, it feels like it was done right. And I think it's really interesting because, you know, like you said, you went a little bit further into metal on this album. And I was trying to think about it. Like, I'm sure there are, but, like, concept albums are, besides, like, if you go, unless you go, like, pop or like metal, it's like they're a little bit difficult, and they're like few and far between. You know, you've got, like, the David Bowies, you have Coheed and Cambria, you've got, you know, there's fucking millions of them, but there's not like the lighter side of this genre. It's difficult to do a concept album. And were you guys finding that when you were, like, was there parts where you're like, shit, this is, like, kind of too poppy that fits in this world? Did you guys have to toss some shit because it just didn't fit?
Yeah, we tossed a lot of songs, especially at the end. It could have been, like, a 16 song thing, but I think we just wanted to keep it the best of the best. And it, for like, first and foremost, it needs to be a fucking amazing album. And, like, basically, like, we wanted to make the album of the decade was our goal. So that came first, and then, like, tying in the story and add, all that was kind of felt natural, I think, towards the end because of that. So,
yeah, there was like, especially we started the process in like late 23. After, I mean, we were already kind of gathering material. I think, to be honest, it was clear from when we did Do or Die that like we wanted to head in a darker direction.
Yeah.
But then we really set into it in like October, November. We had our first like remote sessions and we had like entire songs that were finished. And also in like January 24, we had another batch of sessions. And then in April 24, it never ended. There's so many songs that were like fully done that just are not going to come out or probably not going to come out. We'll see. But that was, I think we were definitely like, we set a way higher standard as to what we wanted to release and to be more concise.
Well, I think it's, you know, I've got my fucking creative hat on and I'm like, dude, you've got all these fucking songs that you're like, oh, it might never come out. You've got this like album that's a story. I don't know. In my mind, I'm like, dude, you could find something to do with those that make them like side plots and side stories and shit, which would be really fucking cool, you know, because you guys are great songwriters. And I think, you know, it revisiting stuff after a minute, like sometimes you can look at it with a different perspective and a different like new set of lenses. And I think, you know, you guys did build this fucking awesome world. Like there, you can do anything you want. And I think that is like such what a freeing experience.
We do plan on like expounding this world. So if you think of it like Vamp is like kind of the first episode and like the first part of the story. So we do have plans on like continuing this. It's just it takes time to get things right, you know?
I know.
You guys are such a creative group of dudes. Like I was listening to another interview with Josh and he was just talking about like how you guys like really all write and bring so much to the table. And like you said, there is so much that is left on the cutting room floor here. I'm curious, like, how did you guys find each other? Are you guys childhood friends? Like, how did this group of dudes come together to make this masterpiece of Vamp? Like, I think it's so cool. And I think it's the beginning of a whole next level. Like you guys said, like you truly did level up, you know, just seeing you guys 2021 emo night, a Vegas vacation, like having you guys just come out of the pandemic as this like TikTok, almost like pop punk band, to making this incredible universe album that's full of artistry. And like, how did you guys find each other and what's this journey been like as friends and as a band?
It's pretty surreal because like me and Freddie, I've known him since I was 12. And Joe also went to our middle school and high school. He was friends with Joe, drummer.
Joe was my friend.
Yeah.
So pretty much the band kind of started with me and Tristan and our other friend Scott.
Yeah.
Then he wanted to do like pop punk music, scene music. And then we were like, yeah, we'll do it because we just wanted to be the band.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tristan knew Josh, met Josh because he was in the same neighborhood as we were.
Yeah.
And then after some changes, we met Vince at the audio compound here.
Which, the studio.
Yeah.
It's where A Day I Remember is, like, their, like, big compound where they have, like, their practice space. And basically, like, Vince was just walking around, and we were, like, join the band, pretty much.
Yeah. And then same thing with Joe. Joe was, our drummer quit. Mm-hmm. And then I knew Joe, who was really good, but he's always really busy. So it was, like, the perfect timing, because Joe just graduated. He wasn't working as much, so he joined the band. We got Joe, then we got Vince, and then that's pretty much when this lineup got like solidified.
Yeah.
But yeah, me and Tristan, I've known him since like 7th grade. Joe, I've known since like 8th.
Yeah.
8th or 9th grade. So it's a collection of like people that I've known for a decent amount of time. So like Vincent, Josh.
Yeah, we're just, I think me and Freddie, when we started the band, we were like desperate. For sure. We were desperate just to like do this because at any cost, like we weren't necessarily like I loved Movements. I know Freddie didn't love Movements that much, but we were like a Movements.
Yeah.
We're just learning how to be like neck deep in Movements. And we just wanted to like do this band thing, and it worked out, and we're very grateful, very very grateful.
Yeah, we grinded it.
Yeah.
Dude, it's so funny because CJ and I talk about this all the time. It's like, think of Neck Deep as like a new band, and they're not a new band. Like, you guys are inspired. You guys were inspired to. You're a new band that's inspired by a band that we like. For some reason, they've got this thing where it's just like they feel like a new band all the time. And I'm like, it's a really interesting thing. But I kind of wanted to talk to you, you know, because we've done some stuff together in the past. And what have been the biggest things that you've like taken away from being in a band? And what did you expect? And what are some things that you're like, oh shit, like I had no idea this was gonna be like this? Or what's the best? Yeah, I guess that is a bad way of asking that question.
Yeah, I guess like one thing that was so when we started Mag Park, I mean, like me and Freddie here, Hispanic, I mean, you weren't in at the time, but and when we got Josh and Joe in, like I didn't really think about like race, you know. I wasn't like, oh, we're a bunch of minorities,
yeah,
let's get together and play some music. But as soon as we got big, like I even saw like articles or like people talking about like thing we put this together, like it was like some industry thing. Yeah. It was so weird,
like a master plan. We were at the local show scouting out like fellow minority talent.
Yeah,
yeah, that was just weird. I mean, being in Orlando, I mean, I can't speak on Josh's. I feel like it's a lot more racism is a lot more aggressive for like when you're black.
Mm-hmm.
But at least in Orlando, I've played most of the bands and other bands I played with had minorities, so no one's really racist to me. But Orlando's like a bubble. Then once you get out that bubble, like Daytona up north, some people call it like South Georgia, that's where you get sketchy and like more like racist.
Yeah, I guess like I wasn't mentally prepared to be exposed to like industry and like fan kind of racism in the rock world.
Yeah.
It just felt weird because we weren't thinking about that going in, which is like always funny.
Why would you? Yeah.
You wouldn't think because it's part of the ethos.
Yeah. I don't know. That's for us. My bad. Go ahead, Vince.
Well, I guess what I took away, I think all of us would probably say the same thing from being in a band. Like, I think when I was a kid, I thought I would be in a band, but then for like the longest time, I was just making like pop music or whatever. And is collaboration and like making something and then leaving space for everyone else to contribute and make the song Magnolia Park. I think that's what makes Magnolia Park is that like for Do or Die, I would sit in one room, I'd make the instrumental, and then Freddie and Tristan were in this room, or you were in the kitchen, whatever, and like you guys wrote the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hook, and that kind of like we complement each other's skill sets very very well. And I think that's what makes a song so cool is that like I can be one brain, Tristan is another brain, Freddie's a brain, and then Josh is a brain, and Joe, like everyone together is what makes the product so unique, and has everyone has an opportunity to contribute the maximum amount of their skill set and their talent. And it's not a one man show, or not really. Like it, everyone's very, very, very involved, and like in us three, and when we're producing and writing, I'll hand off something unfinished. Like one of our songs, Ophelia, I wrote a demo in New York and I sent it to Tristan, and it just like ended with, where do we go? And I had to kill the session. I had to go home. So I sent it to Tristan, and then Tristan wrote the rest of the song. Like when we die, and like wow. Tristan was going, you were
through yeah, something. Yeah. And yeah, it was good. Like we just developed like a great working relationship between the five of us, because sometimes there's too many cooks in the kitchen, but I think we've like navigated that. Like after some time,
let's have you speak on that a little bit. You know, I think what you just said is fantastic, and like you can clearly see that like you're true collaborators. You know, it's not just one guy coming up with something and bringing, you know, the whole song to the table, and then you guys adding instruments. It's amazing to see that a large group of dudes can like put together this shit and be friends for so long. Like you said, you guys know each other inside and out. What was it like on this album working with Andrew Wade, like having that additional voice as a collaborator and producer? Where did he fit into the mix?
You guys have worked with him a bunch in the past too, right? Like,
yeah, we came to him because we loved Neck Deep, and me and Freddie were looking at the. I know it sounds funny because A Day to Remember is so much bigger, but we didn't like Neck. We're a little bit younger, so Neck Deep to us is like the big band. But so yeah, we looked up credits, and he was in Orlando, and we also like worked with Andy Karpovic on this album, which is like kind of his assistant. So like we had to go through Andy to Andrew, and we developed like this great relationship. I mean, that he had Vince as like an intern too, so it's just been, honestly, we're just friends, you know, at this point, like really good friends. Me and Freddie work out of his studio, like doing production stuff too, so it just feels very natural, and he's very like honest with us, like this is not too good, or like he'll like take over, you know, like I think that's important to have like someone you trust that's your producer, you know.
He's really excellent at like I think if we get quite particular, for instance, like technical execution, if there's fill in the blank moments like Misfits, he added a breakdown. Mm-hmm. Did he do the breakdown on Shadow Talk?
Yes.
Yeah, like he's kind of like he's great at putting the pieces together for us. I feel like that's kind of his role as like an executive producer.
Yeah.
In a way, it's difficult to pinpoint like one producer on this project because we're all like contributing so much. But he's definitely like more of an executive function. Like, all right, now all the million airdrops we have sent to him, he's gonna put that into his Pro Tools and make it make sense.
Do you find it you know, since you are all producers and songwriters, like, did you find it difficult at any point to like kind of take a step back and be like, I'm going to fucking leave. And then whatever happens, was it difficult to be like,
I think like some of the ways we work sometimes, like Vince, me and Freddie will come with like 80% of the song sometimes, or what I like to do is like kind of write through Josh, if that makes sense, like where like let Josh cook, and if I have an idea, we work it like through him, and I think that makes him feel like way more involved than just like, because there's like both ways, you know, and I think that's good with like where everyone's like locked in for sure. So like we just figure out how like people work, like Vince, like he was saying about Ophelia, he sent like half the song and we just had to like finish it and put it together. So like we have a lot of different ways of working. And I think like taking out ego and like attachment to the song is like very important too. But you have to trust like the five people that they actually care about like the music. You know, that's like number one.
Yeah, like I know if I write an instrumental section, like I can just give it to these guys and they'll write a good hook. Or like I can top line something, like for Colt. We did that in like an hour over Discord. That was crazy. Yeah. Like, Tristan had a riff. Off the riff, I was like drinking a bunch of coffee. I wrote like a crazy pop verse that was just like mumbo jumbo. It's like didn't make any sense. And then Freddie, I think you guys like you came up with the lyrics for the chorus.
Yeah, I mean that was just one of our. To me, that's like one of our classic like cook-ups, because like when we meet up and like we're locked in, like when we did Baku's Revenge, that's kind of how it was. Like Vince would be on the computer for the most part, and then Tristan would be playing guitar, and then I'd be like, okay, I got an idea for a song, and then I'll start writing stuff, and then they'll start going, and then we'll all start like going off and off. Or someone's like, I got a melody, and then I'll put the words to the melody. Or like Tristan's like, I got an idea for a song, and then Vince will start going, and then I'll look at the chords they're playing, like, all right, let me think of a hook. Like when we're like locked, and that was like Cole. Yeah. Like we were just locked, like there's just melodies being thrown around. Like, okay, I know what the song's about. Let me just throw some words on it. And then like, it just happened so fast.
Yeah. It sounds like you guys have just enough cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, it's a balance. You gotta, sometimes you gotta take yourself back. But we all have roles too. Like aesthetics and stuff. I feel like is like a big part in my role, like to guide musically, I would say.
Yeah, so you're like MD.
Yeah, so I think like everyone's cool with everyone's roles, and I think that's important. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That settled like last year.
Yeah.
Or late 23 maybe, but definitely settled last year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big thing, is like actually defining it, what everybody does. And like, because that's kind of like was my roundabout question.
Yeah. If you like, had to, so you guys like actually sat down and defined it. Let's go through everybody's job descriptions, job titles. What does everybody do?
We're HR.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I mean, we never did that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It took years.
It was like, it's like everyone, like we want to make everyone happy while making music and feel like excited about it. So, I would say Vince is he's just honestly like Vince is such a talented producer that, and like sounds like aesthetic and like production wise. And like he could write when he's locked in, he could write a really good fucking hook. So, I always say that's his role to like kind of elevate, make sure we keep on elevating, if that makes sense. And then, I don't know if you want to speak for yourself. Sorry.
I mean, we all just like songwriting, producing, but I also kind of help like more like the boring stuff, like logistics, or like there's a something with the taxes. I'm like,
dude, you need, bro, you need one of those guys.
Yeah, but like, it's very important.
Yeah,
help with like, I don't know. Yeah, it's mostly like the boring. If we're not talking about music, it's just like boring stuff, or like same things that what Tristan does. Like we just kind of do the more the logistical things. Tristan talks like. He talks to the managers and everybody the most. And then like, I'll talk to them a little bit about some other stuff. And then as a unit, we all like, okay, here's the things we got to do. How are we going to execute it? And then we come up with a plan. Cause like Josh and Joe, they're like videographers, photographers. Mm-hmm. So pretty much like when we have ideas for TikToks, or we'll have like a little meet. If the ideas are like kind of intense, we'll have like a meeting and like, Tristan has some ideas. Like, I have some ideas. I'm like, okay, this is like kind of lighting I'm thinking. And Josh is like, okay, I'm going to practice that lighting. So we booked the time. I already know what to set up. And Joe's like, knows what he has to do to frame everything. So it's a really like, it's a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
And like, we can like awesome. All get together, which we are able to now. Because when you were working, when we were all working, it's like really hard. Like working like every day. But we still made it work. It was just like at a lower level.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really impressed with you guys and the trajectory of, you know, not only you as you guys as like people, but as the band and like where this album is in comparison to, you know, what we were hearing a couple of years ago. I think that you can see it and hear it, which is great. It's like you're evolving as a band and as people. And I think that is also really important to fans. Like, I think that is a very like something that I don't take lightly. I like watching the artists that I like grow and move with their creative side. So really fucking cool to see this.
I'm proud of you guys. I mean, I just think back always to that like first time we met at in Vegas.
That was Vince's first show ever, by the way, which is crazy.
And it's just cool. It's fucking cool to see like how far you've come. And I think this is the beginning of something like really massive. And I'm super proud of you guys. So I'm excited for you. Thank you so much for getting on the pod and talking a little bit about the album. We're going to put this episode out on release day. So congratulations, guys. I'm excited to keep watching and being a fan.
Thank you.
It's going to be cool.
That means
you guys super fucking proud of you, and like TJ said, I think this is like a very 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 cool moment in your guys' lives and career, so really excited to see what the hell you guys fucking do.
Heck yeah.
Feels special. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.